2 Samuel, in verse 2 Samuel, they go over four different people or four different key figures in the book, in these books. Well, we start with Eli. He was the first priest, and we go through Eli's life and we go through his story. Then we travel over to Samuel, and Samuel was a prophet. And as Samuel was a prophet, he was a prophet that was used greatly by God. He's even used, especially when you, in 2 Samuel, he pops in on Saul's life. Each person pops in on each other's lives. At the end of Eli's life, we see Samuel through Eli's life, and we see him popping through. At the end of Samuel, we see Saul's life. We see Samuel popping through into Saul's life. And Saul, between the priest and the prophet, which was Eli and Samuel, we come into Kings. And when we come into Kings, the reason that we had Saul because the people wanted a king. The people no longer wanted someone just to be a prophet, just to be someone that got God's word. They wanted an actual king, just like everybody else. They right. wanted to be like the others. And so after a time of them continuously wanting that, God's like, okay, well, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you want. And God goes ahead and gives them a king. Now, the first king we know is King Saul. King Saul was chosen by the people because they wanted a king. So God let them choose a king. And we come through Saul. But then we come over to King David at the end of Saul's life. And we pop over into David. And King David was the king that was chosen by God. Samuel went, and we know that Samuel went and anointed David when he was young, when he was still tending the sheep, before he even fought Goliath. King David was anointed to be king. And we go as we go through here, I'd like to kind of take this message tonight, and I want to preach on kind of a subject tonight. Because it's gonna go a little bit with this story, but it was a subject that God kind of popped out at me. And if we go back to our text tonight, we go right over to verse number 3, and David sent and inquired. David, he was supposed to be gone at this time. He was not supposed to be at home. He was supposed to be with his men out at war. And it says in verse 1, expected at the time when kings go forth to battle. But David, as we know, was not at battle. He was at home. And it came to pass, verse 2, in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed. He was at home. And walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I want to stop here and I just want to throw in a comment. When you go and you actually study back through and you find out about the kings and about where their rooftop was, and you look at how the buildings were set up, the buildings were so set up in a way that when King David was on his roof, he was able to overlook the whole land, overlook the territory that he had. Right. Because it doesn't say that she was on a roof. It doesn't say that she was in an open place. It says that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. So David specifically saw something that he wanted. And I want to take tonight, and I want to go with not David so much, but I want to go over to Bathsheba. In verse 3, we get into Bathsheba, and it says, and David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And I want to stop there, because at that point, we have Bathsheba. The king has requested that Bathsheba come. The king has requested and sent messengers that Bathsheba come to him. And I want to take a subject tonight. My title is Stand Up for Jesus. Stand Up for Jesus. I want to take a look, because as I was looking through here, I don't see any mention of where Bathsheba stood up to the king. There's another story back in the Bible. If you go back to Esther, Esther's story. She had a similar predicament where she was not supposed to speak out against the king. She was not supposed to speak up. But we see that as she built up her courage and she got to the point where she finally spoke up to the king, even though it might cost her her life, it might cost her head, but she spoke up to the king. And when she spoke up to the king, things were changed. And I look over here at Bathsheba, she has the same opportunity as Esther. She has the same opportunity to stand up to the king. Because I believe that David was a great king. I believe that, as the Bible says, he's a man after God's own heart. But even after a man of God's own heart, he can still fail. But if you go over just a little bit later, Nathan comes to him and tells him pretty much, you're the man that has done this thing. God has seen it, and God is upset, and this is not going to stand. And what you see that David does immediately is he says unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. David realizes what he did was wrong. And as David realizes that, he immediately is hurt. He immediately recognizes. He doesn't try to blame someone else. He immediately says, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I've done this great wickedness. And I see that, and this is one of the questions is, what if Bathsheba would have stood up? If Nathan, all he had to do was use a parable and show David that he did something wrong, that God was upset about it, what if Bathsheba back there, when the messengers came, she could have lost her head. She could have got thrown in prison, whatever the king wanted. What if she would have stood up? If she couldn't even fight against the messengers, if she was taken to the king's house, what if she stood up to the king? What if at that point, when she is presented before King David, she said, King David, you know this is wrong. King David, God would not be happy with this. God would not accept this. This is wrong. I believe King David at that moment, if she would have, I believe he would have done the same thing when Nathan came to him and said, you're the man.
Yeah.
I believe because he is a man after God's own heart, he was at a point where he was weak. He was at a point where he was not thinking right. You get weak when you are up late. Being up late is a weak. It can be a weakness. And especially where he was at, he was not out to battle. He was not at these places where he should have been. But I just want to look at three quick points about standing up. And I want to take it off this as the springboard if Bathsheba would have stood up. But number one, I want to say, you know, we need to stand up to the world. We need to stand up to the world. As being Christians, we need to do what's right. Amen. When the world says, hey, it's okay to cheat, we need to say, no, we need to do what's right. When the world says, it's okay to lie, it's okay to stretch the truth just a little bit, we need to tell the world, no, that's not okay. No, I don't care if you don't know what I'm doing, but I care that God knows what I'm doing. We need to have the character to stand up to the world. The world's going to throw things at us. And the world's going to tell us that it's okay. Oh, you don't have to work so hard. You can take a little bit off. Oh, you don't have to go to church every single time the doors are open. That's just for the really committed folk. You know, you don't have to do that. You can go ahead and miss a Sunday here, miss a Sunday there. It's okay. No, God wants you in the house of the Lord. If He didn't want you in the house of the Lord, He would not have made it possible to have a service. He would not have made it possible. He would not have told us in His Word, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. He's talking about He wants us in church. He wants us with other believers.
Yes.
So my first point is stand up to the world. We need to take a stand. We need to stand up to the world. If you run with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What God is saying here is He's saying, if you are saved, if you are someone that is on your way to heaven, God is watching you. God is watching everything you do. And that's why we need to stand up to the world. We need to say, yes, Lord, I will listen to you. I will do what you say. I'm not going to follow the world. I'm not going to go down that path. God says to be friends of the world, to have enmity with God. We are not supposed to be friends of the world. Now, yes, we can have friends in the world that we're trying to reach for Christ with the gospel.
Yeah.
But we do not need to be in the world ourselves. There are a lot of churches, there are a lot of places that say, well, you got to change for the people, you got to change for the kids, you got to change. No, we can still take the old time religion, we can still take the old rules. This book is so old, but I still believe it's alive today.
Amen.
I still believe they have power to save. I still believe that this is what God wants us to have. And so my first thing is just stand up to the world. My second point in standing up is stand up for the Lord. Stand up for the Lord. You know, there's a lot of places nowadays that God is not allowed. We start finding out that they have taken certain things out of schools. They have taken prayer out of schools. They have taken certain pledges out of schools. And you know, I gotta say is, you know, God might not be allowed in there because He's not allowed through prayer. He's not allowed through the Bible reading anymore. He's not allowed through different things. But you know, you're still there.
Yeah.
And whether it be school, whether it be a workplace, whether it be out in the community, you're at some fundraiser or some event, you still have the opportunity to raise your voice. You still have the opportunity to stand up for the Lord.
Sure.
You are God's ambassador.
Yep.
You run over to me with Galatians chapter 1, verse 7 and 9. Galatians chapter 1. I'll get there after my fat fingers start to work. Galatians chapter 1. Verses number 7 through 9. This is Paul speaking, and he's saying, which is not under, verse 6 I'll start in. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel, he brings out the point of an angel because of the next thing he's about to say. Because an angel is something that you would think, if an angel appeared to me, I'm not going to talk back to the angel. I'm not going to fight the angel. But listen to what Paul says here. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Something fell off. We're continuing on. We have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, that then that ye have received, let him be accursed. He said it two times. If you see one time, God says something one time in the Bible, he means it. But if he says something two times in the Bible, he really means it.
Yeah.
Because he wants you to understand it. What Paul is saying here is he's saying, Whatever happens, whether it be an angel, whether it be another preacher, whatever happens, if their gospel does not line up with this book, let them be accursed.
Yeah.
Paul is not just speaking, let them be accursed. He's yelling at them. No, that one is cursed. He's not giving you the truth. He's giving you something fake, something poisonous. He doesn't want you to have it. Get it out. And that's what Paul is saying here. And so what we need to do is we need to stand up for the Lord. Because there's going to be false prophets that come. And what they're going to do is they're going to try and change us. They're going to try and manipulate the Word of God. And we need to be so in the Word of God and understand the Word of God that we know that's not right. No, Christ died for us. We don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But baptism is the first step in obedience to the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do is we need to stand up for the Lord. Because those people, that they may think, I've got it. Oh, I've gone through the Bible. But their doctrine is messed up. What they're preaching and teaching is messed up. That's when we need to stand up for the Lord. When, especially now in our schools, in our workplaces, when God's not allowed, God is excommunicated. They say, I don't even want you to pass out tracts. You need to be the witness. You need to be the one that is there, that is giving them the Jesus. You need to be there. You need to be doing what's right. Because the only kind of Jesus they see is you now. Because we don't have the Bible, we don't have prayer, we don't have anything now. Because they want to excommunicate God.
Yeah.
And so, my second point is stand up for the Lord. Stand up for the Lord. My third point down here, and I'll be through, is stand up with the Lord. Stand up with the Lord. If you flip over with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. I know we're going through a lot of different places in the Bible, but I'd like to show you this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. It says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What Paul's doing right now is he's exhorting the church at Philippi. Excuse me. And what he's saying is hey, I want you guys to fulfill my... I want to be able to be proud of you guys. But in order for that to be done, I need you to be of one mind. I need you to be of the same mindset. What he's saying is, I want you guys to get on board with each other. I want you guys to get on board and go after the same thing that God wants. I want you guys to have that kind of mind. I don't want you just to have a mind that you all are together and you're doing your own thing. No, I want you to have the kind of mind that's going to bring other people in. I want you to have the kind of mind that's going to go and see people saved. I want you to have the kind of mind that's going to think, how can we reach this world for Christ? What more can we do for this world for Christ? And right there, he's talking about the things that God loves. The things that God wants. He wants us to have the same mind that God has. He wants us all to be on one track. It's like this. Brother Heck, can I use you really quick? Okay. So, I'm not going to hurt you. Okay. So what God wants is, God wants us to be of the same mind. So if you could go and walk that way and just start walking around the auditorium. Right now, we are walking different ways. Most likely we're going to end up hitting each other once we come together. I think I got my back over here. I'm dying over here. Oh, okay. So, as he's walking his own way. Come on down the middle. He's walking his own way. He's going on his own path. He's headed his own way. But like with what Paul's saying here, he's saying he wants us to be of one mind. So he wants both me and Brother Eddie to get on one mind. To get on one path. So if Brother Eddie, you start walking that way, what Paul's telling us is he's saying, get on board. Brother Eddie's looking towards God. Brother Eddie's saying, I want to serve Jesus. I want to do more for Jesus. So I'm going to get on board. I want to do more for Jesus. I want to reach this world for Jesus. And he's finding that rather than going your separate ways trying to reach this world, get on board with what Christ is wanting. With how Christ is wanting us.
Yeah.
To reach this world. So you can have seen. Thank you, brother. But that's what God's saying. He's saying, I want you to get of one mind. I want you to get on mind with me. So just in closing,
amen.
I just want to say is, standing up for Jesus, we need to stand up to the world. We need to stand up for the Lord. But also we need to stand up with the Lord.
Amen.
And when we do that, we'll be right on board.
Amen.